This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com. This episode is brought to you in part by Beyond Ordinary Women Ministries, which prepares Christian women for leadership. At BOW, we believe that every woman is a leader because she influences someone. So, whom do you influence? Do you mentor a woman, serve in the workplace, or do you lead a small group, teach the Bible, or even lead an entire ministry? No matter who or how many you influence, our free online resources will help equip you. Our videos, podcast episodes, and articles from experienced women leaders will encourage you and perfect your leadership skills. They offer wisdom for dealing with ministry pitfalls, current biblical issues, health for your own soul, and insights for shepherding others well. In addition, BOW offers Bible studies designed to connect women of multiple generations. They provide a challenge to both women new to the Bible and those wanting to dig deeper. Be our guest and browse all of our free resources and low-cost Bible studies at beyondordinarywomen.org.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Enneagram and Marriage Pod. I am so glad to refresh your week with some tips on how to prevent and repair conflict with logical spouses and types. Oh my goodness, this is everybody who feels like they themselves or their partner is somebody who is just very almost flat affect during a conflict, or you cannot get a rise out of them. And they're just so logical for better and for worse, right? Because so much of it is good where they're like, I am steady. And then so much of it is frustrating to those who are more passionate or positive. So today's special mini pod is tips for you if you are stuck in this space with them, if you feel like I cannot seem to get out of this cycle that we keep finding ourselves in, partly because they're logical. Or if you're like, I am logical, how am I supposed to do this with a spouse who doesn't get it? Even if, and I will just say that sometimes we have two logical spouses who are logical in different ways. So we're going to go through all of that today. I am so grateful. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in for our entire Igniting Your Sexual Instinct series. I loved finishing it up on Monday as we process more about hormones and layered our work a little bit with that final pièce de résistance to one more time break the shame around periods and menstrual work. It's just part of it all. So make sure you go back to that so that you can actually get some great tips all through the series, from foreplay to intimacy building to troubleshooting and to even making sure you visit your medical providers as needed. That is such a big deal. And it's the part of marriage you don't share with other people. So don't ignore it. Don't neglect it. As you might have heard me say during that series, I've had spouses that were my clients where they just neglected it and it just didn't bode well for them long term. So now I am all about telling my people to do their booster work just so that I can make sure they're tracking in a healthy way together long term in that area. So check that series out and know that I'm so thankful to also have new members of our membership. So I'm excited about today having our group for that. And don't worry if you missed it, we will open again later on. But for now, we are closed doors. So make sure you're on our email list so that you can find out all about how to walk through relationship care with depth. And know that we also have a coaching team. If you maybe missed that window, but you need somebody to help walk you through, do not wait longer if you're in trouble. We don't want to see you when you're past trouble. And of course, we will see you and we love you then too, but we want to prevent as much going down the spiral as possible to lift you up right from where you are. So make sure you check the show notes for that. And also today, as you know, we are talking about our conflict with our logical types. So let's dive into that too briefly. So I want you to first understand that although it's typically Enneagram 1s, 3s, and 5s who have a more generally logical conflict style, sometimes you might see that from somebody in the social subtype / instinct stance as well, because they're just like, I want to get out there and help the world socially. Let's solve things as quickly and logically as possible. Or you might have somebody who's more self-preservation based, and they too might say, I don't have a lot of cards to spend, so I want to solve problems from that angle. You might also see this from somebody whose attachment style is withdrawing, just in that sense of, I don't want to give as much because I feel like it won't be wise. So I'll be logical and I'll withdraw a little bit from the relationship. And of course, the problem with just leaving it there is that we miss out on relating. We get into one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in marriage, stonewalling, that John Gottman, the number one marriage researcher in the world, talks about. So we just have to be mindful that doing our work to help us to learn why are people logical only sometimes, and how can that be good? How can that be healthy and wonderful? And how can that also be detrimental? And then we're going to also work through some actual ways to prevent and to repair conflict with these individuals too. So I am so glad it's a short and sweet, but also very practical episode for you today. So first and foremost, make sure you know that often these individuals, whoever they are, whatever types they are, who want this logic, as I said, they really bring something good to the table in terms of actually wanting to build a foundation that has a lot of preserving energy. They don't want to expend and be overly wild or passionate and misrule on what their decisions are. They want to make sure that they have a rule of law for themselves and how they work that has integrity with who they are. And one of their pieces of integrity that you need to know about is people that are very logical and really like to be competent in an argument, they really don't want to have the argument in the first place. And I know somebody is probably in their car right now like, yes, exactly, because they know that it's not fun and they know that it's, you know, liable to get out of control. And so they really want to stay level-headed in order to make it worse, in order to preserve unnecessary energy, and in order to make sure that they get to stay the course. They want to have a linear equation and they want to make sure that you guys actually get from point A to point B. They don't want to just have a positive stance where they are just looking in the clouds but missing what's really there. And they don't want to either dig up things that aren't relevant, where it's going back so far into the nebula that we have lost sight of the actual pragmatic solutions for this relationship. So I wanted you to know that, because oftentimes people feel very alienated or ignored when somebody has that logical style and they feel like they don't care, when exactly the opposite is true. So I just want to give you that first caveat so that you know it's so important that you allow yourself to see the care is different, but it's absolutely there, so that you can tell yourself this new internal story. Because what I know, because I'm working with couples all the time and fighting, right? Every single week, week in, week out, this is what I do for a living for 20 years. And so I will tell you the patterns that I see are that when somebody is logical and their spouse doesn't understand that, the narrative they spin for themselves, of course, because trauma loves to repeat itself, right? It's just the track our brain sometimes gets on, and it's the easiest route forward, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid I'm scanning for negativity. So our brain says to us, it's because they don't care. So that's your first step in even preventing unnecessary conflict or from conflict going out to areas where it has no business going, and keeping it really to the issue at hand is to just say, my spouse or partner cares deeply, but they just care differently from me. And they don't want to expend unnecessary energy or resources. They want us to get back to having fun and having a good life together. And that's why they want to keep it logical and straight. And also to tell yourself that they don't have this past with being more reactive or positive, because that's part of their own trauma cycle, was this was the way that they kept themselves safe. So that helps you to set good boundaries with yourself when you have these expectations that they should be just like you, when you instead choose to remember. Not only do you have to work on your own inner script with seeing them a bit differently, but also extending a bit more compassion that, oh man, you know, the downsides, I know the downsides of being logical all the time is you miss the joys and you miss the heights of passion sometimes in order to just be logical. You don't always get to share your heart as well, but perhaps it wasn't safe for them to do that. Perhaps they grew up in an environment that just didn't feel like it would be safe to be really passionate or that they would really be able to be joyful in the face of terror. So I know I grew up with a spouse who is very logical. And there were pieces that just would not have made sense had he made any other moves. Even if now I would like for him to add on and become more expansive. And I think that when we're at our best, when we're climbing Maslow's mountains together, right? When we're headed up that peak and we're approaching the summit, yes, it is amazing when your partner can go to that space where they are logical, but also positive and also passionate, like, wow, all of the above. That's really important, right? And that's beautiful. But sometimes we're along the foothills or we're in the falling rock zones, and we know that they're going to default back to their safe zone of logic and competency in conflict. So you also need to know that about them and show patience for that. Show some sense of, I understand this is how you're wired. And when you feel afraid or upset, that you go back to this naturally. That's very important. Now, as you process that with me, I want you to allow yourself a moment to just close your eyes if you're not driving. And if you are, just allow yourself to visualize for a second that you are in an argument with them. And they are giving you that same logical stance. Maybe you see that their face just is resolute and doesn't show much. They're not really showing their cards and they're just being straightforward and they're trying to process linearly. And I want you to imagine yourself saying, okay, they just care differently than me. This is the way that makes sense to them. And they probably feel a bit stressed right now. So they're not at their best incorporating all this positivity and passion. And I'm going to lean into what they have to say here in the hopes and in the faith that they will become more expansive as I make it a safer place to hear them exactly where they're at. So that's the first half of your assignment with them. Now, the second half of your assignment with them is that if they're in the 1, 3, or 5 space, or they're a social or self-preserving, I'm going to give you a little bit of idea of how to work through that. And even if they're there's one type of a sexual subtype that we'll just briefly go over too, that they could possibly be in this logical space a little more than most. But first and foremost, a type one, if you have a 1 spouse, make sure that you know that for them, they're going to pair their logic and competency with rightness. They're going to feel like they don't want to risk being wrong because that makes them feel like they're bad and they don't want to feel bad. Who wants to feel bad? Raise your hand if you love feeling like you're a bad person who has no worth and isn't good. Like nobody wants to feel that. But just so you know, when ones are in that space of just knowing that they're in a conflict, that's what comes up for them, literally. So if you're a 1, you're like, yes. And if you're not a 1, that's news for you because it's a reminder for you of somebody who processes so differently from you, even if you're logical. So allow yourself to use some language around that to prevent conflict and to also resolve conflict to say, you know, something I want to remind you of right now is that you are okay and you don't have to be right all the time, but I understand that that's very important to you. And I want to make sure you feel ethical and strong even as we approach compromise. That's a great way to lean into a 1. Now, if you're with a three, then a great way to understand how they approach their logic and competency in their conflicts is they want to not pause on the achieving. They want to make sure that their goals come out on top no matter what. So they might be saying, like, we need more spending, or we need more work, or we need more of vacation, whatever it is. They're like, we need to display more, we need to attract more. And it's going to be important for you to help them to know the relationship is secure outside of just that performance, and for them to feel that you know how to help them to self-soothe so that they can pause on that and come back to you in a safe manner versus you saying, it has to be that you just perform for us. That's what I need you for and what I want you for. Because I just had a session today with somebody like this, and nobody wants to be loved deep down for their achievements. They want to be loved for who they are. And your three needs to know that so that they could possibly, I didn't say for sure, but possibly relax on this logical competency zone and conflict and could actually troubleshoot with you in a way that feels a little bit more open-minded toward what you have to say too, and toward that diplomacy that you want to see so badly. And so it might be that you're like, I don't care that much about passion and fun with them. I want to have our hearts knit together. And threes are heart types. So if they feel that you're safe with your heart, you can unlock the door to theirs, but you have to really prove to them that your heart sees below the achievements and loves them anyway. So I want you to work on that tangibly. And if you guys don't know how to do this, ask your people. Say, you know, for the one, I know that you get triggered when we have conflict, that you want to be right. What can I say? I know for a three, you get triggered when I talk about slowing down on achievements. What can I say to help you see that I love your heart? And then if it's a type five, a lot of times they want to show their competency in the argument, and that can become more important to them than your feelings. But I want you to know, they're very relationally wired. And so underneath that desire to show you that is deep care. It's maybe often an introverted care, but it's deep care and thoughtfulness about the family, about the security, about the long-term troubleshooting, about pushing through hard walls. And those are all beautiful parts of the five that you might be missing if you're just thinking in a very limited way yourself about them, and you're not remembering all the good they're trying to bring to the conflict, even though you're saying to them, I want to be loved in a different way. I want to be heard in a different way. And something I'll add to that is, if you're in that space where you are a spouse or partner of a five, and you really want to help them to make headway and to add in some different revolutions, not just the same round, the same circle all the time of, okay, it has to be that we just research and troubleshoot and without emotion solve our problems. You can say, you know, I just want to know what would be safe for us together to walk outside of this and for me to get love from you in a different way. And I also want to honor that you have researched for us and that you have shared your wisdom. Because if you try to bypass that and just say, like, love me in a different way, it's similar to what I said about the one or the three. Like, they're not going to buy it. You have to also let them show up in conflict how they're going to show up. Because when we're stressed, you can't really change a person. You just have to love them the way they are. And if you want to climb Maslow's mountain together in your conflicts, you have to be able to say, what would help you to feel more emotionally safe with me in our conflicts? When I want to be heard, what would help me to be heard more? Even when I know your research, and hear me when I say this, your research is so valuable. It is so helpful. It is so life-giving. But I also was really hoping to get some heart-centered care from you. Here's what we can do, or what can we do? And for the five, you can say, here's what we can do. And for the other partner, you can say, what can we do? And see a therapist or a coach. Our team would love to brainstorm with you. If you're like, I'm stuck, I don't know what I would tell them, then see us or see somebody else in your local group. Now, I said I would cover this briefly with the social and self-pres and maybe a bit of the sexual instinct too. And for the social types, just understand that there's a deep draw for them to help and save the world as much as they can. And I think we all have a little bit of us that in us, right? Like, here I'm doing this podcast right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can help my clients, but I can also help others. And I think that we want to have humility, like, okay, maybe I'm helping one person, maybe three, maybe five. But it doesn't mean that we aren't trying to be good and helpful. It means that we're trying to be humble and good and helpful, right? So everyone has some of that. You're probably like, I'm helping with my family. family, I'm providing for them, or I'm providing their work at home, or maybe I have a job, or maybe I'm a teacher, whatever you're doing, there's something you want to help the world with. And if you don't, I hope you'll be able to get there as you get healthy. But understand that sometimes when we put that before anything else in an argument, it can make us very logical because we're like, okay, logically speaking, my schedule doesn't have room for what my spouse is requesting. And that's a big mistake that I see a lot in my work, is that people gave so much socially that they miss each other and they were desperate for love and care. Attachment is so primal. So just make sure you're watching for that and asking your partner, how can we make sure we do put our spousal oxygen masks on so that we're not in conflicts all the time about not even seeing each other and not even connecting. And so that's the blind spot with the social. Now with the self-pres, as I mentioned, it can be the blind spot of like, I don't have the energy for more. And this is where I want you to watch out for yourself and just get some extra rest. You heard our episode, I hope, with Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith on the 7 types of rest, or you can just give yourself, as I do a few times a week, just a little micro nap to really allow for the fact that when your spouse is upset with you and there's conflict around you being so self-preserving and just like logical and pulled back and not willing to engage, there will be more when you start saving more of your energy for your relationship. So you have to intentionally do that. Maybe you're not a social, but you still need to do that in your self-pres. And then for the sexual, I would just remind you that some people are logical in the sexual way of like, I want to merge. And so I'll do whatever you need and I'll just be logical. But I do think that the limiting factor here is that sometimes it's extra hard when somebody is trying so hard to just say, like, I need you to do it my way and I'm merging with you, and either I'm going to lean in so far to you or you're going to lean in so far to me that we're going to lose ourselves. So make sure in the process that you are willing to put some passion in so that you don't lose your personal values. That is my concern for you if you just lean in so hard on that merging instinct and you forget who you are and you get swallowed up. So I want you to watch for that. So those are the big tips for you. If you have a spouse or a partner who is a logical person in a conflict, I want you to really allow yourself to create new internal dialogues for yourself about this person. And as you can hear, as a big picture ending, that the dialogues don't involve you saying that this person is bad or this person is trying to bypass fun and passion. Instead, allow yourself that reminder that they're doing the best they can and they may not be at the top of the mountain, and logic is their go-to. And if you are that logical party, allow yourself the expansiveness and faith and time of rest so that you can start when you're at your best, putting on a few different pieces and just giving that a baby step so that your spouse can see, oh my gosh, they're really working on this. That is so hopeful. I know whenever I think of Wes doing some work, it just encourages me so much. And I'm sure you all feel that about your spouses as well. And they feel that way about you. So keep up the great work. Take one tip from today that you're going to bring into your week. And then don't forget to join us on the Deeper Dive podcast today, where I'm sharing 3 ways that you can process through conflict now together. So I hope you have a great week and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you in part by the Beyond Ordinary Women Ministries podcast. Do you want to grow in your influence? Bao's episodes feature tips for leaders of any kind, from mentoring one woman to leading a ministry. Browse Bao's podcast at beyondordinarywomen.org.